Oops. Our second reading today comes from Hebrews chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. And so, dear brothers and sisters who belong to God and are partners with those called to heaven, think carefully about this Jesus, whom we declare to be God's messenger and high priest. For he was faithful to God who appointed him, just as Moses served faithfully when he was entrusted with God's entire house. But Jesus deserves far more glory than Moses, just as a person who builds a house deserves more praise than the house itself. For every house has a builder, but the one who built everything is God. Moses was certainly faithful in God's house as a servant. His work was an illustration of the truths God would reveal later. But Christ, as the Son, is in charge of God's entire house. And we are God's house if we keep our courage and remain confident of our hope in Christ. Amen.
Two of the major figures of the Old Testament were Moses and David. And here in this passage in Hebrews, the writer of Hebrews brings both of those figures into mind. Now, some of you may be saying, wait a minute, I see Moses, but where is David mentioned? Well, David is mentioned in this house, in the building of the house. And the first scripture reading that Shannon read from 2 Samuel chapter 7, very famous passage where David, as the conquering king, David was, of course, the greatest king that Israel ever had. He was the one who finally accomplished the conquest of Canaan that had been started so many hundreds of years before in Moses. And so when finally he conquered all of the land of Canaan and God gave him rest from all sides, he's sitting there in his fabulous palace and said, well, maybe I need to build a temple for God. And Nathan the prophet responds to him and says, well, yeah, God's with you. Whatever you think is right, go ahead and do. Well, Nathan hadn't yet heard from the Lord, had he? And that night, the Lord comes knocking on Nathan's door and says, by the way, Nathan, go to my servant tomorrow and tell him he doesn't not to build a house for me. I'm going to build the house for him. And so here in this passage, we see that the writer of Hebrews is calling our attention to David. As great as he was, God is the one who built his house, his dynasty. He needed God. He didn't need to build a temple for God. God built the house and dynasty for him. And so Hebrews points out the one who builds the house is much greater than the house itself. And Moses, as great as he was, and of course he is adored by the Jewish Christians in the first century, He is the one who led the people of Israel out of Egypt, listened to God, was a very faithful servant as recorded here. And he took care of God's house, which is the people of God. He took care of them. He did everything. He was faithful to God, it recites here. But even in all of his greatness as well, he pales in comparison to Jesus Christ our Lord. Because as the writer to Hebrews here mentions, he equates Jesus with God himself in this passage. Because he says it's Jesus who builds the house. Jesus, as God's Son, is in charge of the house. He's the builder. God's the builder. One and the same. It's all about the exaltation of Jesus. Which gets back to the very beginning of this passage. Now, Shannon was reading from the NLT, which you all may remember last week. That's the version of the Bible that we gave all the young people. All of us are a little bit older. If we're going to start off and be the next generation, every one of us would have an NLT if it were up to me. Because that, I think, is going to be the Bible of the next generation. But most of us are a little more comfortable with the NIV, right? That's what we kind of grew up with. And so in the NIV, it starts off in chapter 3, verse 1. Therefore, holy brothers and sisters, share in the heavenly calling that you have. What he's talking about here, why, whenever we encounter a therefore, we got to look back because he's drawing our attention to what he has said before. And what he said in chapters 1 and 2 is the exaltation of Jesus as God himself, greater than any angel, who lowered himself by becoming human so that he could in fact be exalted and take humanity up back in as he reigns on high. And he says, think about Jesus. Because of who he is, how great he is our, fix your thoughts on Jesus. So I have a question for you today. In the past week, those of you who are visitors today, I guess you're off the hook on this test. But for those of you who are here last week or the week before, where we've talked about how exalted Jesus of Nazareth is, when we talked before about how we've got to be very careful to pay attention to the message of his salvation, or we will drift away from our faith. Since we have talked about those things, have you been thinking and pondering and fixing your thoughts on Jesus? Because that's what the writer of Hebrews is calling us to do now. How many of you thought about Jesus every day this past week? Good for you. Praise God. This is the way that we do not drift away, is if we focus our thoughts on Christ our Lord. And how do we do that? I think we have a real advantage living here in Haines. Of course, we know that we're a lot closer to the Lord, right? I mean, just look around us. When we moved here almost 13 years ago, back in the days of film cameras, Jackie was out there snapping pictures, and then it'd take 2 weeks to send the film off to wherever and come back, and there'd be all these telephone lines and telephone poles instead of all the great, right? You all experienced that? So we decided to go to digital cameras. Oh, boy, was that a mistake, right? Somebody got hooked. But we were just stunned by the grandeur of living in this town. And so, I don't know, we'd been here just a couple of months, and I don't remember which one of us said to the other one, but we said, do you think we'll ever get tired of looking at this place? And so far, after almost 13 years, we're not tired yet. I mean, how about some of you who've been here a little while? You ever get tired of seeing the majesty of God's creation around us? No, it doesn't happen. And as we look out on this beautiful place that we live, that's a reminder. Jesus was the agent of this creation. He made it. So whenever you see something, the sunset, two nights ago, was just stunning. Of course, you got to wait up pretty late for it now. Sunrise sometimes is a little easier because, you know, you're waking up anyway in the middle of the night. But when you look at the glory of God's creation around us, and we have a huge advantage over, I think, everybody else, it's a reminder, Jesus did that. Think about the gorgeous sunrise or sunset that you see, or a rainbow or something else, and stop and really, oh yeah, we know the scientific explanation for it, but why does it look so beautiful to us? It's a gift from Jesus. We've talked about the necessity of healing. We've had one great praise today. We're praying for others, and obviously we're concerned for Song and Amy as they're about to embark on this journey of healing that's coming before them. But Jesus is our healer. Thinking about Cal Moose was killed out the highway a little ways, and the calf is running around and very vulnerable, right? And we know what ultimately is going to happen to that calf without its mother. But stop, have you ever pondered and thought about the incarnation of Jesus? You have a little, very vulnerable calf out there that lost its mother and so is going to perish. God took a great risk when he became human and was born as a baby, utterly vulnerable and dependent on his mother, Mary. If something had happened to her, he would have perished. God experienced that humanity, that vulnerability, just like all of us have gone through. Jesus came and He ministered to the people. He healed them. He talked with them. He taught them. Imagine yourself think about Jesus. Put yourself back at the Sermon on the Mount, that you were sitting there listening to His teaching. Probably most of us in this room, I know definitely me, we would have been among the Pharisees, right? Sitting there saying, well, is this really right? And questioning and being critical of it. I'd like to think, yes, oh, I would have responded to His message. Probably most of us would have been on the Pharisee side, wouldn't we? That's what we do. But put yourself there and try and imagine hearing His teaching. Imagine yourself in those scenes. Or watching Him miraculously heal somebody who is sick. We see that even now here today. I know that Nishan went through surgery, went through a lot of chemotherapy, but it's a miracle from God that he has been healed. Praise God for that. The miracles of healing still happen. Think about those things. Think about what Jesus went through so that we can have a relationship with God. His suffering. His death. Think about the fact that He suffered death and He was raised again, and He promises, because He was raised, He will raise us too. Praise God for that. Hallelujah. Think about these things, is what the writer says. Fix your thoughts on Jesus, no matter what. Focus your attention on Him. There's so many different ways we can do that. He is our perfect model and example. He says here that we acknowledge Him as our apostle and our high priest. What's an apostle? An apostle is someone who is sent out. God sent him to teach us, to show us what God was really like. He is our apostle. This is the only time Jesus is called an apostle in the whole New Testament. But he was sent out, and he calls us to be sent out ones as well. He is our perfect high priest. Not only was he sent from God, he gives us the perfect example of how we should live, and that's why he is our high priest. He was 100% obedient. Unlike the rest of us, he didn't press any boundaries. He followed them. So he is our perfect high priest. And we are called in this passage to be his house. Did you notice that there at the end? Very end it says, we are his house. The church is who God, what God is building up. Jesus is building his church, his house, which also could be translated as temple. And it's his people. His people make up his house. Paul talks about it. Peter talks about it. We sometimes think of the church as being a building. It's not. If you want to think of it as building, think of it as a brick building. And each individual brick are the people in it. That's the metaphor that Peter uses in his epistle. We are his house. The house that he built. And there is a warning. He encourages us to fix our thoughts, to think about Jesus, but we are his house if indeed we hold firmly to our confidence and the hope in which we glory. Now, the confidence that we have is that Jesus has been here. He has done everything for us, and all we have to do is maintain our trust and focus on him. And the hope of the glory that we have, is the glory when we will see his face and enter into his presence. And the word hope, as used in the New Testament, is not like our word hope. I mean, it translates the same way. But when we say the word hope, I look outside right now and I think, well, I hope the wind will calm down so I can go out in the boat this afternoon. I really don't think the wind's going to calm down, do I? Isn't that the way we say hope? I hope it's not going to rain tomorrow when, yeah, the forecast says it might. Okay? Probably will. That's the way we use hope. But that's not the way the New Testament writers use hope. When they say hope, they mean the absolute certainty. And we can have the absolute certainty when we fix and focus our thoughts on Jesus. We know that He will preserve us, and we will see His glory. Amen.